Last week, for those of you who were here, I quadruple dog dared you. I dared you to participate in a 21-day challenge. Last week, I encouraged you all to take 21 days and spend time reflecting on gratitude. Now, we're basing this dare and challenge on the work based on biblical virtues, but also on the work of Dr. Robert Emmons, whose groundbreaking work has birthed great insights regarding gratitude and thankfulness. In his work, it was discovered that people who cultivate a spirit of gratitude were more likely to be physically, mentally, spiritually, and relationally healthy. So I am daring everyone in this church to jumpstart a gratitude cultivating process in your life. I have provided for each and every one of you guides. There are guides available for this week, week two, which looks like this, is exactly the same as last week, except last week said week one. But as week two, you're going to go through the same thing. Now, put you on the spot. How many people spent 7 days and did the challenge? Raise your hand. Okay, one, two, three. I did it, so I'll count myself in it. Yeah, I'm going to do this every week. So if you don't do it, you're going to be embarrassed because, oh, man, I didn't do it. I want you to take the time. I know that some of you maybe have, instead of doing this, you've then done things like, hey, I'm going to be intentional every day to be thankful or express gratitude about something. Now, it's perfectly fine for you to do that. But I want to strongly encourage you to engage with these guides, these journals. Cultivating gratitude is not easy, and it takes discipline. The guides are available to keep you on task. Gratitude is a choice. The guides are also the result of findings from Dr. Emmons' research. One of the key contributing actions to cultivating gratitude is keeping gratitude journals. That's writing down and recording regularly your moments of gratitude. Now here's what Dr. Emmons discovered about those who kept gratitude journals. And the research is, I mean, it's breathtaking to see these results, actual scientific results. People are 25% happier if they keep gratitude journals. They sleep a half hour more per evening. They exercise 33% more each week compared to persons who are not keeping journals. Those with high blood pressure experience a 10% decrease in their blood pressure. Others reported feeling more forgiving, more loving, and closer to God. So I really want you to consider a discipline of gratitude. If you didn't do it last week, start this week with today. There are some really good questions in here, and I'm going to share with you how I answered one of the questions on day five, the George Bailey experiment, which I thought was pretty cool. We introduced this challenge last week by reminding ourselves that built into our DNA as followers of God is a spirit of gratitude. So throughout the biblical writings are instances of gratitude being expressed by several different people, by individuals and by a collective. For example, in Psalm 136, we experience one of the great Psalms, which has at its core gratitude and thankfulness. I want to read that psalm in its entirety this morning so that you can get a picture of how gratitude and thankfulness is built into the spirit of God's people. This is Psalm 136. It says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His love endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, his love endures forever. Who by his understanding made the heavens, his love endures forever. Who spread out the earth upon the waters, his love endures forever. Who made the great lights, his love endures forever. The sun to govern the day, his love endures forever. The moon and the stars to govern the night, his love endures forever. To him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt, his love endures forever. And brought Israel out from among them, his love endures forever. With a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, his love endures forever. To him who divided the Red Sea asunder, his love endures forever. And brought Israel through the midst of it, his love endures forever. But swept Pharaoh and his army into the Red Sea, his love endures forever. To him who led his people through the wilderness, his love endures forever. To him who struck down great kings, his love endures forever. And killed mighty kings, his love endures forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, his love endures forever. And gave their land as and Og, king of Bashan, his love endures forever. And gave their land as an inheritance, his love endures forever. An inheritance to his servant Israel, his love endures forever. He remembered us in our low estate, his love endures forever. And freed us from our enemies, his love endures forever. He gives food to every creature, his love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of heaven. Everyone, church, say this with me. His love This song of thankfulness or gratitude, it begins with thanks to God, and it ends with thanks to God. Sandwiched between the thanksgiving are the mighty acts of God. Those singing the songs are summoned to remember what God has done. Remembrance is a key fuel to gratitude. This challenge we are participating in is steeped in remembering. Dr. Emmons writes this in his book called Gratitude Works. At the core, and this is a quote, at the core of these practices is memory. Gratitude is about remembering. If there is a crisis of gratitude in contemporary life, as some have claimed, it is because we are collectively forgetful. We have lost a strong sense of gratitude about the freedoms we enjoy, a lack of gratitude toward those who lost their lives in the fight for freedom, and a lack of gratitude for all the material advantages we have. Furthermore, we don't even realize that we have become forgetful because we can't remember being different. End quote. Simply put, our lack of gratitude has a lot to do with our canning ability to quickly forget the good fortune we experience. I hate my job, but don't forget that you have a job. I can't stand green peas. But don't forget that you have food. Tap water tastes gross. But don't forget you have clean water to drink. It drives me crazy when the projector in church acts up and it blinks and it gets dark and we gotta build up scaffolding to replace it. But don't forget that we can worship at a church without fear of being imprisoned or killed. My brothers and sisters, they keep coming in my room without asking. They get on my last nerve. But don't forget, you have family. Because we live in a society where excess is the rule and not the exception, Our understanding of gratitude is often blurred. We have so much. We have so many things, and it's hard to come to a place where we conceive that we have enough. I am a prime suspect. I confess, church. I confess that I have a spending problem. I confess that sometimes I find it difficult to be content. It might be helpful to hear a word from Paul the Apostle. Paul wrote a collection of letters, not from the comforts of his own home, but from the confines of a jail. We sometimes refer to these letters as the prison letters or the prison epistles. In the letter to the Philippians, we are made aware of an apostle who not only had a great gift to teach and admonish or reprimand these early church communities, but also had a great capacity of gratitude. This culture of gratitude embraced by Paul allowed him to put on display his life that demonstrated love and forgiveness and understanding and an incredible faith in God. Let's read Philippians chapter 4, starting at verse number 10, where Paul writes this to his Philippian brothers and sisters. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my trouble. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is that more be credited to your account. I have received full payment and have more than enough. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. While in prison, Paul received a considerable monetary gift from the Philippian church, and Paul expresses his great joy and grateful heart to the Philippian church. This is not the first time Paul gives thanks for Philippi. That same letter in the beginning, this isn't up there, it says, I thank my God every time I remember you and all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. While Paul was in prison, Paul found a place to be grateful. Being blessed by someone just ought to elicit praise to God and thanksgiving. And we see it on display here in this letter. Paul also demonstrates that his gratitude comes from a place of knowing the secret to being content. Now, that is an important phrase not to be overlooked. In Hellenistic culture or Greek culture, there was a line of thinking regarding the secret of being happy or being content. The secret in this culture pertained to one achieving a position of self-sufficiency. When one is self-sufficient and they can take care of all of their needs themselves and they can do for themselves, they would have discovered the secret to contentment. Paul uses the exact same language of the Greek philosophers, but flips the script. Paul's secret lies in this great truth. He can do all things through him which gives him strength. All things through Christ, all things through God, all things through the Spirit, which gives him strength. Paul is not who he is because of himself. He is what he is and where he is because of Christ and the strength that emanates from that power. Church, this is the source of our gratitude. It is the life we have in Christ. We are nothing without Christ. We are empty without Christ. We are ineffective without Christ. We are incomplete without Christ. We have no purpose without Christ. The secret, church, to cultivating a heart of gratitude is discovering where our strength comes from or where our strength lies. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Do you see how you can emphasize every word in that sentence? That's where our strength comes from, and that's the beginning spot of a heart that's grateful. That's where our gratitude comes from, and that's why Paul was able to write these amazing words of gratitude to the Philippian church. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Discovering this strength empowered and fueled Paul to give thanks to God and to the Philippians, even though he sat in a jail. Last week, I encouraged us to be grateful, not instead of our struggle, but in spite of our struggle. Being grateful need not emanate from the bliss of blessings or seasons of having plenty. It's kind of easy to be thankful when you got everything. But what about when you have nothing? What about when you're struggling? What about when your relationships are failing? What about when your job is getting on your last nerve? What about those times? You see, be grateful in spite of the struggles. Being grateful, I now know plenty of people who have a whole lot of stuff. If you look at their life, you say, man, they got a lot of stuff, man. They're blessed with so much. But they have no gratitude. It is a place of saying that in Christ, we have enough. Paul says, I know the secret to contentment. It's saying, I have enough. It's saying, I have all I need. God will supply all our needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Paul was able to make that declaration from a jail. We should then be able to make that declaration in this place of worship. On your job, in your home, at your school, at the grocery store, at the park, or in your car. Don't reserve your Thanksgiving for our worship time together, though. Since you know the secret, be grateful. Maybe if we operated from a place of gratitude and contentment, we would be much better prepared to bless others with gratitude, gracious words and moments of thanksgiving. And maybe the beginning of this powerful season in our lives starts with saying, I have enough. I have enough. Brené Brown, who I've quoted several times, wrote this, quote, we live in a culture with a strong sense of scarcity. We wake up in the morning and we say, I didn't get enough sleep. And we hit the pillow saying, I didn't get enough done. We're never thin enough, extraordinary enough, or good enough until we declare that we are. For me, says Brown, the opposite of scarcity is not abundance, it's enough. I'm enough. My kids are enough. When we are threatened by scarcity, we operate from a place of unfulfilled expectations. But if we operated from a place of the abundance of God found in Jesus, we might be a more grateful people. Are you content with what you have? If you never get another raise, another car, another piece of jewelry, another friend, another antique, another pair of designer jeans, another toy, another electronic device, more space on your iPod, will you be content with what you have? You see, that seems to be the question for us this morning. That's the question that we wrestle with, and it seems to be the place where we struggle with our attempt to cultivate hearts of gratitude. This is why we need to practice gratitude. This is why I issued the gratitude challenge. And in 2 weeks, I want to hear from you. I don't want to stand up in church and just preach. I want to hear how you're doing. I want to hear what you're learning during this challenge. I want to hear how your life is being cultivated towards gratitude and what it's meaning now for your interaction with others and for your interaction with yourself and your interaction with God. Be prepared for me to call on you and say, what about you? Tell me something about gratitude. How is gratitude being demonstrated in your life? I want you to share with one another how this challenge has changed you or challenged you or troubled you and freed you. I want us to express gratitude to one another. But perhaps I'm putting too much pressure on the body of Christ, but I just believe that cultivating gratitude in our lives will benefit our individual health, the health of the church body, the health of our families, the health of our communities, and the health of the world. And church, I encourage you to start at a place of declaring you have enough. This is not an encouragement to not strive to better yourself or to better your position in life. This is not an encouragement for you to abandon all of your pursuits. It's an encouragement to start at a simple place of thanking God for where you are right now. You are at a place where you can make a choice. You can choose whether you're going to walk in this journey of gratitude or not. You can start at a place of heartfelt gratitude in your life. I dare you. I double dare you to take this challenge. I dare you to look at your life right now and say, I am enough. And I have enough. There was one of the challenges, I think it's day five, it's the George Bailey challenge. And so how many people have seen It's a Wonderful Life? And remember, in It's a Wonderful Life, George is having a bad day and he's ready to kill himself and the angel shows up, Clarence, and Clarence takes him back over his life and begins to show him things that would have happened had he not been there. I remember one vivid scene is that, remember, he saved his brother early in the film from drowning, and had he not been born, which was his request, I wish I was never born, then perhaps his brother would have drowned, and he takes him through that. And so the challenge was to look over your life and to reflect on things that's happened in your life and perhaps reflect on where you would be had that not happened. And so with the chorus being here on Tuesday, obviously that brought memories of being in the chorus and being at Rochester College, and that's where I met my wife Christy. And so what I began to reflect on is, man, if I didn't meet Christy, if God didn't bless me with Christy in my life, we obviously wouldn't have gotten married. And if we hadn't gotten married, I wouldn't have known that her father was an elder at a church in Flint, Michigan. And had that not happened, her father would not have invited me to come preach at the West Carpenter Road Church of Christ. And had I not preached at the West Carpenter Road Church of Christ, I wouldn't have been offered a job at the West Carpenter Church of Christ. Had we not gone to West Carpenter Road Church of Christ, I might not have gone to Lansing, Michigan. Michigan to work at the Holmes Road Church of Christ. And had I not been at the Holmes Road Church of Christ, I would have never met a guy by the name of Jared Kelly. And if I had not met a guy named Jared Kelly who came here to preach and invited me to come down and do some things, I may not have been invited to come here and work at the Reynoldsburg Church of Christ. And had I not come here to work at the Reynoldsburg Church of Christ, you would not be looking at a guy that's so hot right now. Today I look like a sweating Hershey bar. I know some of y'all are like, man, why am I craving chocolate right now? It's just, it's hot up here, y'all. I'm just trying to tell you. But when you start doing that, you start to see that maybe this isn't happening had God not brought Christy in my life. And so the conclusion of the matter is I'm grateful that God brought Christy in my life. Do you see how that works? I want you this morning to start at a place of your number one need, and that's God. And saying that having God in my life, having God's presence around me is enough. Go to the next screen. I think there's a photo up there. Read this. Gratitude unlocks the fullness of life. It turns what we have into enough and more. Starting at a place, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. That there's the fuel for gratitude, cultivating gratitude in your life and being able to be full of life from that gratitude, where you begin to look at everything that you have. And he said, not only do I have enough, I have a lot of enough. I have more than enough. Church, I dare you. I dare you to be grateful. I dare you to take this challenge and begin to cultivate the virtue of gratitude. There's so many things to be thankful for. I'm so thankful and grateful for my brother Gene, who came up to me this morning and said, brother, I'm grateful for you. Well, I'm grateful for you, man. I'm grateful for the breakfasts that we have together, and we always order the same thing. And I'm grateful that, you know, the waitress comes over. Are you ready to order? And we say, yeah, we're ready to order. We order our food, and we spend so much time just talking and reflecting on life together. I'm grateful. There's so many things to be grateful for. And I pray that you participate in this challenge. I pray that you post things on this board. You post things on this board so that others can come and see. Because maybe when you do this challenge, it's going to be a struggle. There are going to be times where you're going to sit there with a blank page, like I don't know what to write. And the reason we get to that place is because we don't have a heart that's cultivated in gratitude. And I want us to become that church that changes this world because we start at a place of God giving us strength and being grateful. Is that all right, church? Let's pray to God. Holy God, we are so grateful for your love, your love that has invaded this space, that have invaded our space. God, in your presence, we have no reason to be fake, to be dishonest. God, we can bear all in front of you. We can show all. And in this place, God, we express our number one need. And our number one need is for your presence. God, I pray that from that space, we will begin to reflect upon all that has taken place, the trauma in our lives, the bad decisions we've made, the sicknesses we've had, the losses that we have incurred, that we will begin to take a look of that from that space of being in your presence and learn what it means to be grateful even in those moments, to be grateful in spite of the pain. Father, to be grateful for the position that we're in right now in this country, to just have so much. even the poor among us, in terms of the world, is rich. Now, God, that doesn't mean that we stop our pursuit in ministering and helping those, but God, I pray that in doing that, we will also help cultivate a spirit of gratitude. May we start with our number one need, which is you. All we need is you. And you will supply all of our needs according to the riches that are found in Christ Jesus. Oh God, we love you. And I thank you for my brothers and sisters in Christ. I thank you for the body of Christ. Father, move us to be grateful. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we sing this next song, All I Need Is You, if there is something that we can bless you with a prayer, bless you with a touch, bless you with an embrace, if there's something you're going through and you need to share that with the body, you need to get something off of your heart, this is a safe place for you to do so. If you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, you want to profess faith in him, you want to say, I want Jesus to be the head of my life, you want to demonstrate that through your confession of Jesus Christ through baptism, we'll provide that ministry for you as well. Let's stand and let's sing.